I'm very happy now to welcome to the program Ana Maria Tutera Manriquez and Ali Greer. Ana Maria is from the Santa Fe Children's Museum. Ali Greer, amateur entomologist, has an extraordinary insect collection which will be on view. The exhibit is called Metamorphosis at the Santa Fe Children's Museum. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Thank you.
Now, we had you on a couple of years ago, Ali, when you were showing, I think, also at the Children's Museum.
Yeah. My bugs were on exhibit there for just 2 months, and Elizabeth Keller brought me over here, and this was my first radio interview, and it was quite a lot of fun. And the turnout at the Children's Museum was staggering. I was really flattered. The museum had an incredible amount of success with it. I'd have a couple hours free every couple of days to zip over there and to check on things. And adults were coming up to me saying, "Mr. Greer, this is my fourth time back at the museum to see your bugs." And I'm thinking, yay for the museum. This is, you know, they have to pay an admission every time. And it was just great exposure for all concerned, for the bugs, for me, and most importantly, for the museum. So I'm, go ahead.
Now, let's talk for a moment about bugs. How did you start collecting them?
When I was 10 years old, I found a dead wasp in our backyard in Tiburon, California, and it was shiny black with orange wings, and I was a lot smaller back then, so it appeared to be a lot larger in my hand. And my parents had an insect encyclopedia on our shelf, the V.J. Stanek Illustrated Encyclopedia of Insects, and I found and identified that wasp. It was a spider hunter, which I, you know, was important to me because I hate spiders. I'm born arachnophobic. So that led to a lifetime interest in collecting bugs, and I still have that original wasp. It is in the collection in the spider case, and it's what
got me
started.
Why is it in the spider case?
Well, because in the spider case, there's also wasps, bees, flies, hornets, ants, scorpions, cockroaches, true bugs, camel spiders, whip spiders, and all the things that bite, pinch, sting, and pierce and suck. And suck in a feeding way, not in a cultural way.
Right. Now, I can't believe that you became a bug collector when you're scared of spiders.
Well, arachnophobia is, it's just all-encompassing and pervasive. I get sweaty and nauseous. It's just a fear that I can't overcome. But the fear compels me to collect them. It's like looking at a train wreck. Or any other kind of, you know, you can't help but look. And I can't help but collect them. When they're dead, they are a lot more interesting than when they're alive. And I can't have a complete collection without them. So, and it's my privilege to be able to share with all the patrons that will be at the museum in the next 4 or 5 months my unique specimens. I have a lot of really interesting, dangerous, exotic, rare, and unusual things in the collection.
Have you caught them all yourself?
Oh, no, of course not. I've, out of 2,300 bugs on display, there are 550 that are from Santa Fe and a few from California and Texas when I lived there. And the about half of those I found, and the other half were contributions from friends and acquaintances and coworkers. Like they'd, you know, when I was chef at the Ore House, friends would come in with a black widow in a jar that they found in their bedroom, and we put it in the deep freeze, and then a couple weeks later, I would take it out and pin it out and add it to the collection. So, but I do not buy, I do not catch things from overseas. That is smuggling and very illegal, and it would deprive local natives and villagers in these poor third world countries of a good income. So I purchase exotic insects from all over the world. But when I buy them, they don't come mounted or spread out. They are folded up very compact and wrapped in paper and plastic so they don't break. And I relax them in a humidifier, and with pins and forceps and special setting boards and tracing paper, I work my magic with my surgeon's hands, and I spread them out and get them to look like the way they do now.
Do you work with professional entomologists at all? Do you have information sharing with each other?
No, I'm strictly an amateur in that regard. I worked for a professional entomologist when I was a teenager from ages 13 to 15 in Chico, California at Cal State Chico. I was Dr. David Kistner's lab assistant, and that's how I learned how to set and pin and handle these things.
Why didn't you go into the field?
It was just a hobby. Going into that field as a profession would take away the fun for me. That's why I was a chef at the Orr House for so long. That was my income and my job, and I was damn good at it. But it enabled me to pursue my other hobbies without taking away from the magic and joy of those hobbies. When a hobby becomes a profession, then oftentimes the pleasure and joy of the hobby goes away, and then it becomes a drag. So with cooking and ultimately being executive chef and a co-manager of the restaurant by the time I left there, I still enjoyed the job, and I didn't have to take the job home with me.
Right.
And still as a bachelor, you know, now I, you know, a bowl of cereal is about as much cooking as I do. You know, I keep a bowl in my refrigerator and a spoon in my drawer, and that's about it. So as a result of not working as a chef anymore, I really enjoy going out to eat a whole lot more because it's not my job anymore. So now the collection is taking center stage and occupying most of my time, and I'll be at the Children's Museum almost every day for several hours at a time, showing kids and adults, answering questions, showing them around, and I'm quite looking forward to it.
We're talking to Ollie Greer about his insect collection and the opening of Metamorphosis at the Santa Fe Children's Museum. Anna Marie, what is it that, I mean, I can ask Ollie this too, but I want to ask you. I mean, you work at the Children's Museum. What is it about kids and bugs?
That's a great question. I think it's just a natural curiosity and fascination. I think that a prime example is today. My three-year-old was at the museum. The museum right now is closed to the public, but he was there with me. And Ollie brought out these butterflies. What were their names, Ollie?
Oh, the Ornithoptera goliath, Procus, and Titan. It was a pair of some of the world's biggest butterflies.
And at three, Leto just looked at them and said, "Wow, these are so cool and beautiful." And then he said, "They look just like my airplanes," which I thought was kind of interesting. But I think that it's the same that fascinates adults, you know, being able to observe something in nature that closely that you typically don't have the chance to do. Either you're afraid of the spider or the butterfly. You can't get close enough because it flies away. You know, having that exposure and that accessibility, I think, is really a wonder for kids and adults alike. And we're having a summer camp bug week, a week-long summer camp of bugs.
That's in June, is in it the June. 6th through the 10th, I think?
And it is. It's always so popular to get kids exposed to bugs. And also, what's going to be great about having Ollie around is he's going to be able to do some special presentations with the exhibit and get children exposed to exactly how he lays out these bugs, which that's a very rare opportunity.
Elizabeth and I discussed during the summer camp in June that I'll be helping kids to go outside and actually collect some butterflies and grasshoppers. Then we'll freeze them, which is a merciful, safe way to preserve them. And then I will bring some of my own new specimens and my setting tools and boards and pins and everything. And I will set up shop and spread these things out. And the kids will watch me, and they will spread out the things that they caught as well. So that will be, we'll catch them at the beginning of the summer camp, and then on the last couple days, then we'll spread these things out. And they'll see how I do it, and then they can learn by example. Because instead of just telling them how I do it and drawing a diagram on a chalkboard, they're going to actually watch me at work.
Now, the way that you lay these insects and spiders and so on out on boards is itself a kind of an artistic process. I mean, the way they go together in terms of not only type of animal, but form and color is part of the deal.
Yeah. Well, I look at that in a very spiritual way. I'm not a religious person. I believe in the Force. I believe in Star Trek. I believe that Buddy Rich was the greatest drummer that ever lived, and those are my religious convictions. But with the bugs, each display case is unique, because I kind of let the insects, in a spiritual way, tell me where they need to go in these display cases. They're pre-made to specific sizes, custom-made to my design. But within that parameter of an 18-inch width and a 24-inch height, there's only so much you can do within it. And I let the group of insects, grasshoppers, crickets, whichever goes in a certain case. I start in the top center with one specimen, and I let the rest of them, I just kind of pick and choose and fit, and if one doesn't work there, it comes out, something else goes in. I try to balance everything, but in a spiritual way, I kind of let the insect specimens tell me where they need to go, and the end result is really spectacular, and I'm not one to toot my own horn, but the bug collection's reputation is really preceding itself now and preceding me, and it's, you know, it's fun to talk about it. It's something I really haven't thought about much because I do it, but I don't stop and think about why I'm doing it. It just needs to get done. And I think the best way to explain that is in the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. When Richard Dreyfuss sees the UFO and he gets sunburned on his face, and then later on he's sculpting the mashed potatoes into a mountain on his plate, and he says, you know, this means something. This is important. So I kind of look at the collection that I've done now as, you know, this is my plate of mashed potatoes that I've sculpted into a mountain. And it is funny in a way, but at the same time, I have begun to realize that because of all the publicity the bugs have generated and the attention they're getting, I've begun to realize that this collection means something. This collection is important. But at the bottom line is that this is my plate of mashed potatoes. So.
Well, I was just thinking, too, you know, at the museum, through our programs and through our exhibits, we really do our best to intersect art, science, and culture.
Mm-hmm.
And in thinking about the bugs, that's kind of a perfect representation of that kind of intersection,
well,
especially
how you have them laid out and
yeah, I mean,
their
origins. The way you're talking about it, it is the artistic process,
right.
For a lot of people.
Well, my dad was a commercial graphic artist and photographer in San Francisco from 1966 to 1983. And when he had custody of me and my sister on the weekends, at, you know, the result, of course, of a divorce, he put me and my sister to work in his studio. And I kind of inherited an artistic nature from him. And my mom did her best to stamp that out and change that. And she's going to be listening to this on her computer. So I relish the thought of this. And it's just something that's in my blood. It never, you know, it never left me. And music, too, is an important part of this. I listen to music when I set the specimens at home and when I make the arrangements. And the best explanation for that, too, is my religious belief that Buddy Rich was the greatest drummer of all time. And I kind of approach the scope and size of the collection is inspired directly by Buddy Rich's music. He was the baddest mother who ever, ever played the drums. He is the all-time greatest. And he was just an artist with those sticks, his hands, and his feet. And I kind of put myself in his shoes and pretend I'm playing a drum solo when I'm putting the collection together. So the collection itself now is 2,300 bugs in 30 display cases, but I have 4,500 more specimens that I'm working on at home right now. So in about a year and a half's time, the collection is going to triple in size from 2,300 bugs to almost 7,000 bugs. And that will be my equivalent of Buddy Rich's West Side Story, which was the greatest solo performance that he ever gave in his entire career. And he played it hundreds, thousands of times. But that was his magnum opus. Every time he played West Side Story, that's what audiences paid money to see, is for him to improvise and create an astonishing solo, because he never read music. He just did it. He played what he felt. And I look at that the same way that I do with my collection. I'm just kind of setting them and building it up to the scale that it is, because that's what I'm feeling and that's what I need to do.
Well, I want to thank you both, Anna Marie Tutera Manriquez and Ali Greer, for being with us, and can't wait to go see those bugs.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.